Ready?
Ready.
Hi, everybody. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is The Lighthouse Lowdown. I haven't heard it in a while.
Yeah, happy Friday night.
We're cutting this very close with our recording. I've had a lot of stuff going on. Vince traveling for work and being lazy, in general laziness.
We're all here.
Vince and I have the shipwreck pirate cocktail experience coming up after this.
That's right. That's coming up next for us.
I'll tell you, I read some stuff online that these are in different locations. So maybe it's different per location, but that it was very poor.
What do you mean?
People either say that they liked it and they came back, or they'll say it's an even split between people who say that and people who leave paragraphs that are like, this was garbage. Don't waste your money. The stories aren't even scary and the rum is watered down.
Okay. Well, I'm not really putting that much stock into it, to be honest with you.
We're just doing it to have fun.
Yeah.
And if it's really bad, I feel like we're the type of people that just can still enjoy it anyways.
It's fine. It's a one-time thing. It's not
You get to see people in costume dramatically telling stories.
Yeah. So we're going to go to a shipwreck saloon themed night, four cocktails, hour and a half, stories and songs and such. So
yeah, it says interactive, but I hope nobody tries to talk to me.
The whole Lowdown clan will be there with us. We can't say clan. We need a different Lowdown listeners.
Yeah.
In spirit, they'll be there.
The crew.
The crew. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of ships, today's episode is about light ships. And nice. It was going to be the history buoy. And then I started researching and I was like, this deserves a full episode. And we've talked about it a couple times that we're going to do episodes that are not about lighthouses directly.
Yeah, ships.
That's what this is. We're doing light ships.
Very good.
They're also called light vessels, which you'll see LV as their
designation.
Prefix or whatever in their numbering. So I'm going to call them light ships because light vessels is not, it's not what I say.
Doesn't go as good.
So light vessels / light ships are lighthouses' little partners. And they kind of originated in the 19th century for places that it was not where they really needed a lighthouse, but they didn't, at the time in the mid 1800s, they didn't have the ability to build lighthouses anywhere. So the idea came up to have a ship that would have a lighthouse beacon on it. And so then you could park your light ship somewhere, drop anchor and man it, and then you wouldn't have to go through the trouble of building a lighthouse.
Cool.
But in the end, I think the cost of keeping up a lightship was actually more than lighthouses and more than building lighthouses.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because eventually they got phased out and anywhere there was a lightship, there ended up being a lighthouse later. Well, not anywhere, but it was pretty common.
Interesting.
Lightships were parked where you would have a reef or a shoal or a narrow harbor where they couldn't build a lighthouse at the time.
Mm.
And if you think about trying to build a lighthouse on sand, it's just not.
They've tried.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to, you know this, but our listeners don't. I went to Delaware recently, saw a couple of lighthouses, saw a light ship, saw some lighthouse life-saving stations.
Not heck lighthouse. Yeah.
There was one, and I can't remember which one it was. I think the precursor, so Cape Henlopen, I think is the name of the lighthouse. They built it just on a sandy beach. So you know how that went.
It drifted away?
Yeah. I just remember them talking
Uncle Cracker.
About it. What? Okay. So usually light ships were painted a bright color. This was almost always red. I saw one other instance where it wasn't red. It was light yellow or something because the waters were really bluish green. And so they picked something that would stand out against that.
Nice.
Which I think red would have also worked. And then they would also have block white letters on the side that say the name of the station. And at first, ships were named after its station. That was the name of the ship was Chesapeake for Chesapeake Bay. And later they changed that to a lettering system and then a numbering system.
Ships were named after a station.
Yeah. So if they park it in Chesapeake, they paint Chesapeake on the side.
Is there a station? Chesapeake Station?
Yeah. Light Station.
Which is where the light ship launches from.
No, it's where it's stationed is the light station.
Okay.
It's just the name, like, it's a shortened version of the name, Chesapeake Bay. So then the station, they just call it Chesapeake.
Chessie. Okay.
Okay. Whatever you want. All the way up in, like, Roman times, and that was, like, from, like, 80 BC to, like, 500 AD, there was some evidence of ships having bonfires on them. So they kind of had the concept going.
Risky.
The first modern light ship. Oh, my gosh. I feel like this whole time.
Lighthouse.
I'm going to say lighthouse when I mean light ship. So if I ever have a slip of the tongue, just let it go. But the first modern example was in 1734 when inventor Robert Hamblin and David Avery placed a fishing sloop on a sandbank at the mouth of the river. Oh, no. River Thames?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, Thames?
England, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The Thames?
In London. Is it Thames?
I remember it being. Say that.
Yeah. I think it's that. I think that's what it is. Because I remember I covered the episode with. Dang it.
England, that one.
The one. Oh, what is it?
No, I saw a TikTok of a guy who was like talking to a girl. And he was saying, your eyes are beautiful, just like the Thames. And the, you know, they're brown.
Yeah.
And he's like, uh-oh. Like, that's not a good thing.
It's like, so, nobody really associates that river with anything that's good.
That's how he said it. So.
So anyway, this first light ship in the UK had two oil lanterns hung 12 feet apart high above the deck. Immediately, Trinity House sued. Which Trinity House was the one that was in charge. Yeah. And won the lawsuit. And so then Hamblin and Avery could run the light ship for pay on behalf of the organization. So they were basically like, you can't. I think the main problem was that they wanted to charge for ships that go by.
Oh, yeah.
Because taxes. It's like a light. Yeah, like a lighthouse. So they were like, no, but we'll pay you to man. Like, I think.
Yeah.
And they were trying to patent it too. So I don't really know what happened with the patent if they officially. I mean, I'm reading it right now. So maybe they did because they're officially the ones who. It doesn't just say like Trinity House.
They're the inventors. Produced,
The light ship. But the light ship was so successful in reducing wrecks that by 1834, almost 25% of Trinity House's beacons were light ships.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a big chunk, big percentage, especially like in the early 1800s. Now the U.S. didn't get light ships until 1820. We start out in Chesapeake Bay. Chesapeake.
Chessie.
Mm-hmm. Chessie. So originally, light ships were named, like I said, after where they were placed. And this would mean over time that multiple ships would have the same name. Like any ship stationed on Chesapeake would be called a Chesapeake. So like it became
Jenny 1, Jenny 2.
Yeah, but not even. Just Chesapeake. And so then, of course, there was no way to mark your ships that way. So like it only took a few years, but they switched to a lettering system. So light ship A, light ship B.
That is a cool photo.
This is a painting of...
Cool painting.
a painting of a more modern light, more modern Chesapeake.
Okay.
So this isn't like the first one or anything. This was painted in 1979. So, but yeah, that's kind of... I'll go on to describe more about the construction and like characteristics of a light ship.
Like
that
a
you'll
day
see.
Mark, but for a ship.
The day mark is the red and the white letters. Okay.
Okay.
For example... The Chesapeake Lightship, you can tour in Baltimore right now because there's only like 15 left that you can actually see in the United States. Mm. But the one that you can tour right now is actually Lightship 116, which was built 110 years after the first lightship in the U.S., which was also Chesapeake.
Okay.
So it just kind of became convoluted, so they gave it a new system. Oh, fun fact. This lightship that you can go see in Baltimore was first stationed at Fenwick Shoal, and that's the lighthouse that I saw last weekend.
Nice.
Fenwick Lighthouse. Fenwick Island Lighthouse.
Did they mention it at the lighthouse? They mentioned the lightship?
No,
ship?
I just noticed it in my research. That's
they
always
forgot.
That's always the most fun.
Fenwick Shoal, be advised.
but then, like, if you think about it, it used to have the name Fenwick, and now it's the Chesapeake Lightship. That's like, that's forever since it's decommissioned. It's forever going to be known as the Chesapeake Lightship, even though it started out at Fenwick.
It's interesting.
It is. Yeah. It's crazy how I can just switch up like that and they just repaint the side and it has a new identity.
That doesn't happen very often with lighthouses, I'll say. It's hard to...
Well...
I mean, it's been done.
Yeah.
Especially with beacons. We've seen beacons move all over the place.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, if you think about Nauset Light, It was Chatham's twin tower, and they just took it over.
Yeah.
Moved it right on over.
Well, Triangle Island is not even, I mean, it's just displayed now. It's not an active light. But the lantern room is in Sook. Like, it's not even close to where Triangle Island is. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, how the turntables.
Michael Scott.
In 1838, they gave lightships letters to differentiate them besides their station name, such as Lightship A. But I'm not sure what the naming convention was, because the first lightship was Lightship C. Like the first one that was built, the first Chesapeake, they named it Lightship C. So it can't have been number of years in service, but maybe it's
C,
like...
C Chesapeake?
No, because they did A, B, C, D, E, F, D. Like it just went on.
No idea. They had like one of those C's laying around.
Yeah, they're just like, just randomly assigned. Like it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe that was the case. They were like, just like, just randomly assign 100
years from now, there's going to be a podcast on this.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not going
to
know.
At the time, they're like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just give them something to differentiate them.
Nice.
Once they reached Lightship ZZ, they switched to assigning numbers in 1867. And that started with LV1, LV-1. And that's the naming convention you see a lot. Like today, if you were to go see...
Light Vessel.
Yeah, if you go to see Chesapeake, it'll be Chesapeake / LV116.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's pretty clear now. In 1947, the Coast Guard gave new numbers to the existing lightship stations, starting with Wall. I could not find what Wall was, like a WAL dash, like Chesapeake. Come back to Chesapeake as an example. It's WAL-538.
That's...
I don't know.
You said the Navy did that?
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard? It's probably a military thing.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, why is the plane called the C-130?
Yeah.
No idea. Cargo? Carry? I have no idea. Someone, actually probably a lot of people know, but I do not know.
Yeah.
Why is it the F-16?
Well, and then 20 years later, less than 20 years later, they switched the prefix to say WLV, which makes more sense. The LV is light vessel, but then the W, it says W marks it as a Coast Guard vessel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, but what is the W? What is it? There has to be some reason they pick a W.
Don't know.
Yes, maybe we'll never know.
Don't know.
But if you do know, send us an email.
Please do.
Our friends out there. So even though there are only 15 lightships still surviving in America that you can go see, or some of them are private, or they're like turned into a restaurant or something.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of all over the place. Their names are still confusing. For example, the Overfalls lightship, which I saw with my sister Carly last weekend, never served at the Overfalls station. Not once.
But it's there now.
But now it's parked and says Overfalls, and it's called the Overfalls lightship. But it never served there.
So did they know?
Excellent timing. And when was the last time we touched that button?
I know. So did they say anything about that there? Overfalls?
No, I just had to find that through research. Like it was just like.
Did they point at it and they're like, yep, there's our light vessel. And you're like.
You're wrong.
You're sitting on a throne of lies.
You smell like meat and cheese. So the ship.
Like, can you imagine if you said that to them?
Desperately to move on from that. Excuse me. The ship that served at Overfalls is painted Portsmouth, which was never a station to begin with. So the Overfalls lightship is surviving, called Portsmouth, but wasn't. There was never a station that was Portsmouth.
Mm.
So it's just a little convoluted, and we do our best with numbers now, but it still is a little messed up. So the ownership of lightships moved with lighthouses to the Coast Guard in 1939.
Mm.
And the last lightship to be discontinued was Nantucket 1. That was the only instance that I've seen that there's a station 1 and 2.
Okay.
Nantucket 1 was on March 29th, 1985. And they would like switch off for each other, I believe, 1 and 2, like in the same day they would switch off. So I'm not really sure if it was like a station where they got beat up a lot at and they needed, I don't know. I didn't look too deep into it because it's more of a general. But I am thinking in the future, maybe I could do an episode that's over one lightship, because there's so much fun history, so many crazy stories, and I'll cover one of them today.
Nice.
Okay. The remaining lightships are often museums that are in the U.S., such as Over Falls. You can go inside, check it out. Carly and I didn't have time. It was a shame. The Chesapeake, Huron, and you and I will be seeing, I think, Nantucket.
The one in Boston.
Yes. I think it's Nantucket.
Station near Boston.
But not Nantucket 1 or 2. It's just Nantucket.
Nanny.
1 and 2 are doing their own thing, and Nantucket Solid is the one that we're going to see.
Nantucket Distinguished.
And I saw that they're doing an event where they're shooting off fireworks. Boston's like doing a fireworks show on Labor Day, or the Saturday before Labor Day.
Okay.
And if you pay for a $30 ticket, you can set up camp on the deck of the lightship and watch it from there.
Nice.
You can bring drinks and food, and they have like live music or something. So
that's cool.
Very cool.
Nice.
They said they specified it will be parked the whole time, but that's just the life that...
Yeah, but you could sit on the deck.
The crew lived, so...
It's right on the water's edge, so it's probably a good view. Yeah.
Best view.
Cool.
Between 1820 and 1983, 179 lightships were built for the U.S. for 116 different light stations.
Okay, so a couple duplicates in there.
Quite a few. But there weren't as many, like, lightship destructions as you would think there would be. You know, like... With a lightship being on the water, you'd think that they would lose a lot of ships, but I think they only lost like 10 over the course of history.
So would they stay out in rough weather? I mean, I assume you have to.
Yeah, that's one of their main purposes. So I'll talk about their structure and how that came to be. So,
cool.
Originally, lightships had small masts and basic sails because they weren't supposed to sail anywhere. Mm. They were just, it was more like as
just
like...
Just get to where they're going.
Yeah, it's like they would be towed places, and then they'd have tiny masts for like changing or, redirecting themselves, keeping themselves on in a certain spot. Because I'll talk about it later, their chain is a lot longer than how deep the water is. And so if you're not staying on course, which was a common problem, then there was this huge radius in which they could be around a dangerous area instead of right on top of it, which would be a problem for people trying to navigate using the lightships.
Yeah.
They had an oil burning beacon that would run up the mast and be lowered for service. So it wasn't like a stationary thing. Now they're stationary. Workers would need to climb. Once they became stationary, workers would have to climb rope ladders to the top to service it. And now it's like metal ladders. And they even have like miniature, this is more common in the UK, but like miniature skeleton lighthouses in the middle of a lightship.
That's cool.
So like here in the U.S., you see, like, the picture that I have up.
Yeah.
There's two masts that are pretty skinny, and each one would usually have a beacon on it. There's one that's always lit and one that's a backup.
Mm. Smart.
I got a picture of one of those skeleton lightships. This is the Helwig.
That's cool.
I think it's, now it's parked, what's Welsh?
Wales?
Wales, okay.
That is a big lantern room for that ship.
I know. You would think it would be really top heavy, like it would just tip it right over.
Hole no. You know what I mean?
Oh no. So that's an example. The US didn't have a lot of them, but that's kind of like how it progressed over time.
Nice.
So there's space in the lightship for between 4 to 12 men who manned the lightship and cycled in and out every few weeks to every few months. So I think over time
it's a big crew.
Yeah, and some, like, these ships are a lot bigger than you think they are. There's some, of course, that are really small, but especially as time went on, the ships would get bigger because you have better technology and better construction. But much of the space on the early boats were reserved for oil storage, because at this time, obviously, we didn't have electricity.
Yeah. All the fuel.
They'd usually have around 900 gallons of oil on board, so it just kind of was crazy.
Okay, yeah.
And they'd also have, of course, spare parts, lifeboats, small kitchens, like... Sleeping areas, a lot like you see for Coast Guard stuff now. If you looked up like how they sleep, and it always goes viral online showing the tiny little spaces they have to squeeze into, like the Navy and stuff, to sleep. It's anxiety inducing.
Like bunks, little bunks.
Yes. And you have like a foot of space and you like slide in.
Mm.
Then you have a tiny curtain that you pull over.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah, I don't think I was built for that.
You are definitely not.
Personally.
They'd be like, we need an extra long, and it's like built for a 6-foot person.
Yeah, those of you that don't know me, I was not built for that. So
no. You're above average in size. So often, like I mentioned, lightships had two masts, one fitted with an identical backup beacon as well as a spare anchor in case the main one broke free during like a storm or something, which was actually a pretty common occurrence. There was like hundreds of instances where the chain broke during a storm and they would just like float off, you know, like in the storm. Just
they'd
like,
have to come back.
Yeah, because they weren't made for sailing. You know, they weren't made for moving. They were made for staying put. So, like in one instance, it was like a couple weeks went by and it just like limped back over to the station. It's just so crazy. So one of the most important parts, regardless of the chain breaking, is the anchor, because we want to stay in one spot. And it would anchor the ship to the seabed from wherever it's stationed. Originally, they had fluke anchors, which are like the classic ones you think of when you think of an anchor.
Big curvy ones.
Yeah, with the pointy ends. Yep. Those pointy ends are called flukes. Oh. And so there's several different types of fluke anchors. Like today, they're like, I don't have a picture, but it's just like two flat triangles and they would like scrape.
I feel like I've seen them. I don't know where I've seen them. They're more compact.
Yes. Yes. That's the advantage, that they can be flattened into, I hit my microphone, flattened so that they're easy stored and not taking up a bunch of space. But often these drag along the ground instead of really securing a ship down. So they switched eventually to mushroom style anchors.
Yep.
I have a picture of one of those.
I've seen those.
But it's bowl shaped and this end would fill with sand and mud when it hit the ground and form like a vacuum or a suction effect. And so this kept the boat from moving around. And these anchors are up to 4 tons in weight.
It's actually not as heavy as I thought. 4 tons, 8,000 pounds.
So there's an example.
It's a big anchor. I mean, I don't really have a scale, but.
So I had a picture that I didn't include that showed two men just like standing on it, just chilling. So that's kind of.
It's a big, big piece of metal.
Yeah.
How does it get there?
How did it get there?
They hang it. They hang it on the side of the hull.
Yeah. How do they? Oh.
They must have a crane.
This is either the spare or this is because it's not going to be used anymore. They use this as a way to show what it looks like. Because I think in the past they would pull the long part of the mushroom anchor. They would pull that all the way into the ship. So the only thing on the outside would be this.
The bowl.
The head of the mushroom.
The stem gets pulled in.
The stem. I really think that's what it.
Think it goes into that hole there where the chain is? Okay.
So it would be, you know, like more aerodynamic and wouldn't take as much damage by being out and exposed.
That's pretty wild. That's a big piece of metal.
Yeah. So their spare was usually on the starboard bow, and the one that they would actually use would be like on the front of the ship. Also attached to this was that chain I was talking about. Rule of thumb was 6 to 8 feet of chain for each foot of water. And they used cast iron, like, first and foremost.
Why?
Waves during storms get really big. Oh. And so you've got to have enough slack that you won't just, like...
Oh, no.
Destroy your ship in big waves.
You'd either be anchored below the crest of the wave, or you'd be lifting your anchor off of
like
the ground.
I feel like you would just rip it out.
Probably.
If, like, they were trying to pull something super buoyant underneath.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
I have not thought about that. Someone figured that out the hard way.
Oh. Yeah.
Long ago.
All right. I'm going to go into materials because there was a lot of growth.
Materials of construction.
Exactly. First lightships were wooden, of course, which was the preferred material in the U.S. for almost 100 years as they worked out like the kinks of iron and steelwork. Over the pond, they figured it out a lot faster than us. And it was kind of, there's a lot of like history that's trying to weave around the truth of what really holds us back from like the Fresnel lenses and
stolen like from France,
having the metal stuff. It's because of cost and the fact that it was just one guy. I won't go into it, but
okay. Costs drive a lot of history.
Yeah. You guys should read about it. I have the links that I have in my show notes. It's pretty interesting. Early ships were often repurposed to merchant ships. For example, the ship used to build Standard Rock Lighthouse was converted to Lightship Number 8. So I thought that was kind of
cool.
Fact. So
wait, the other way around. Lightship Number 8 was converted to
ship that was used like it was like a barge ship, like a lighthouse tender.
Standard Rock on Lake Superior
that built Standard Rock was converted to lighthouse. Light ship. I did it. Light ship.
Light ship. Light ship.
It sounded like I was trying to curse. Ship. Light ship. I did it. Was converted to light ship number 8. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Merchant ships are meant to be moving, obviously. So sitting still, these boats would rock horribly. They're like shaped like a barrel. They're meant to be moving forward in like a streamlined fashion. Mm. So for their... to just be sitting there, then it was just like really awful for all of the crew. They talked about even people who had been on the water for 19 years were like seasick by these movements.
Not good.
So around the 1850s, they brought out bilge keels. I think that's how you pronounce it. Bilge keels, which were developed to reduce the rocking. They're like fins. I have a picture. I have a picture. Don't worry. So it's this one right here. It's up to the top.
Yeah, okay.
It's two little... angled fins coming out the bottom. So obviously it would just keep it from rocking side to side, or at least help it a little bit. And these full keels or fin keels are, you see those a lot for cruise ships because they're so big that there can't be any rocking. Because if there is, the momentum would just continue. Like it wouldn't just be like, oh, rock, rock. It would just be like full sideways motion.
Wow.
Anyway. So the first iron hull lightship was used in 1847 for Merrill's Shell Bank in Louisiana, but wood was still preferred because of the fact that it was low cost, and the lighthouse board argued that it was had better resistance to effects from shock loading, which you probably know about, but for our listeners.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking about, if something yanked on the chain, this is just an example. Something, all of a sudden, a very high increase in pressure, they thought that wood would be able to handle not breaking better than metal, which nowadays that's not true.
Nowadays it's not true.
Yeah.
Because of alloying and different forging techniques.
Yeah, like iron at that time, before it was treated or they really learned how to do it. I'm shaking my drink around.
Well, the example I've said too many times now on the podcast is the Titanic. It's a case study for material science in metalworking, and it was built in Northern Ireland in Belfast. Mm-hmm. So they've been known for making ships for a long time.
Yeah,
but even them working with iron at that scale had a large failure in a ductile to brittle transition temperature. So the metal on the Titanic, because of its temperature, sheared. It ripped like paper, rather than slowly deforming upon force.
Like denting.
Yeah. So toughness and strength are two different things. And wood ships in many ways were tougher than metal ships of that era. Yeah. Even the Vikings built their ships. Obviously they didn't have metal working to the same degree, but
they had their little shields on the side.
Mm-hmm. Well, the long boats that they had that they made were purposefully floppy. So the long boat it was a small long boat that could go on river entrances, but also open ocean. And one of the strengths of the longboat was that it was actually be flexible on large waves.
Wow.
Rather than cracking, it would be designed to be loose and flexible. So it was more durable that way.
Loosey-goosey.
And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Long before this.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So in 1851, Congress did an extensive survey and found just about everything about their lightships to be insufficient. Oh, no. And fun fact, this report, I can't remember if you talked about it in your episode, but this report is what formed the Lighthouse Board as a separate group from the Treasury.
Mm.
It's like they did this whole survey and found that the lightships were just like
found wanting.
Yeah, it was just, they found out that there was really no management. There was crew members that had no qualifications at all and they wouldn't even show up. And there'd be like unmanned stations for a long time. Yeah, and nobody would say anything about it. So it was just kind of like, wow, we really need structure.
Yep.
So that's how that happened.
Militarized.
Yeah. So at that time, they ordered the ships to be modeled after British ships because they had kept it up a little better.
The English Navy has a good history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which were iron and had argon lamps and reflectors like most lighthouses of the time.
Okay.
They standardized lightships in general so that everything would be streamlined. So ships became flat-bottomed with a rounded bow. They had bilge keels and decks that would allow water to roll off instead of like holding the deck, like holding water.
Yep.
Which you'd think they would have done a little earlier, but I guess.
Thought about that. I've seen that on ships.
Yeah, where the water just like goes between holes or like slits or something.
Yeah.
And they also had double masts. So this became like the go-to structure for U.S. lightships. The lamps were updated. though we kept the wood for a few decades longer. I just don't think we picked up on the metal holes yet.
This image is from 1994, which is just very slightly older than I am.
A British too. Right?
Yep.
So they dabbled in different hole types while they were still like, while wood was the main one.
Mm-hmm.
They had like copper plating, copper rivets, and double holes like light vessel 16, which was in service for 80 years. So it definitely worked. It had two wooden holes that were filled in between with salt to reduce decay and to like harden the wood.
Huh.
Yeah. It was like very interesting. And this was like not an uncommon thing. It was just the one instance that I wrote about. So the first modern steel-hulled lightship was built in 1882. So it wasn't this huge amount of time, but it took a while for steel to be the kind that we always use.
Yep.
1902 was the last time that wood was used as the main construction material. So
that makes sense. Yeah.
The first modern steel-hulled one was Light Vessel 44. All following ships after this 1902 was
steel.
First lightships with steam propulsion we talked about in our last episode, White Shoal. They were built in 1891, and I was wondering why did they have steam propulsion if they were still towed out to their station?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, so I did my research, and it was because the ice moved in so fast that while they were towed out there to conserve fuel and everything, they needed to be able to flee in a moment's notice that like the ice was coming in and it was like starting to harden because they couldn't survive out there with ice hitting the hole for the entire season. So they'd always leave before winter.
Huh.
So that's why they had that. So they can get out of there.
Man, there's a lot riding on that steam.
I know.
Early steam boiler.
And they had steam decades before this, like steam powered things, but it was only for foghorns and steam whistles, not like engine sort of stuff. In the same year, this 1891, a journalist visited Nantucket One. So there's so many existing Nantuckets that I get confused, but one of the Nantucket ships, and wrote a lot about the beacons. So I'll read kind of some of the stuff that he mentioned.
Okay.
So he mentioned the beacons were octagonal in copper frames, and they were about 5 feet wide and nearly 5 feet tall. It was like 4 feet, 9 inches or something like that.
Okay.
The mast was the center with the lamp circling it with all the reflectors facing outward. Reflectors. You didn't laugh.
It is funny.
There's like so many times where I laugh to myself in the audio and I'm like editing it and I'm like, oh my gosh. Because you smile at me, but you don't laugh.
But people can't hear that.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm laughing to myself.
You're just here by yourself.
Okay. Sorry. I'm like all over the place. I'm excited for our event. So I'm kind of just to service these beacons. It would be lowered into the top of a tiny house that was built around the mast. So this big hulking thing around the mast would be lowered into a tiny house. Like the top of it opens. And they would service it in there, like oil and, you know.
Little shed.
Yeah. And then the beacons were lifted no higher than 25 feet up the mast, as the 1-ton beacons would make the ship too top heavy and it would tip over.
Huh.
I know. It's like, what? 1 ton? 1 ton of glass and copper? That's insane.
That's only 2,000 pounds. Yeah.
Only.
Well, we talked about like large Fresnel lenses, or I don't think I've ever heard of one being a ton. I don't remember. They're heavy.
Yeah.
I know that.
That's true.
Thick glass.
Fresnel lenses are a different thing where I would expect those to be thousands and thousands of pounds, but we're talking just like lamps and reflectors.
Oh, I suppose.
Like, oh, I don't know. Kind of crazy.
Everything out there has got to be tough.
He also reported on the desperate boredom that the crew felt with little to do besides care for the light, which only took, I mean, with the whole crew, it only took a couple of hours to like care for this beacon. And then past that, they would just like cook and didn't really have much else to do.
Sea shanties.
Sing songs,
gamble.
I guess. But they didn't even have like books and things on the lightship.
Oh, yeah, no.
That came later. He said they made him scouse, which he said was a, quote, wonderful commingling of salt, beef, potatoes, and onions.
Okay.
He said the food was like shockingly delicious on the light ship. I'm like, maybe that's because that's all they have to do.
They're just spending all day cooking.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to be culinary chefs Gordon by the Ramsay. Time we get out of here. So Cruz began taking up basket weaving. And I'm pretty sure it was Nantucket that started this. What is the word?
It's
tradition.
Literally kind of. A term used for frivolous activities.
Really? Basket weaving?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Like, oh, I took a class in underwater basket weaving. Like, it's like a joke of like, oh, you know, okay. He did something.
That must be where this came from or something.
Maybe.
But they would sell them on shore for extra cash. And you'll see a lot of these woven baskets in lightship museums because it was like this huge thing that they all took up. And then I read in the Overfalls Lightship Museum that the lighthouse board made them stop because they're selling it on shore. I was like, oh my God, no.
They're like, you can't be making money, guys.
Like, no, you can't. You're on company time. You can't, like.
Well, maybe. It's either that or getting into smuggling.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, how you want me to be a bootlegger?
Yeah.
That's what it is, right? Yeah. Rum runner?
Running champagne in the Bahamas.
Yeah. So these conditions made it really hard to be one of these crew members, just like being so bored. And then also that the ships were really hard to stomach, basically.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just rocking everywhere.
Days.
So eventually the addition of bilge keels to all of the ships, engines that allowed them to face into the wind instead of just at the mercy of it, televisions, radios, and like things like books all assisted in a better life on the ship.
As soon as they got that, they stopped using them.
Some improvement. Yeah, right. Lightship number 51 got electric incandescent lanterns in the 1910s, along with fourth order Fresnel lenses. So that's when Fresnel lenses started to pop up in like the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So obviously a lot Powerful. Later than lighthouses got them, but I'm sure they were reluctant to get Fresnel lenses for all the lightships too, because there would need to be two, one for the backup and one for the regular.
And they're expensive and all
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Radio beacons were also added at this time. And it would run at the same time as foghorns, and shipping boats would hone in on this beacon and then follow it until someone spotted the lightship or like directed from the sound of their foghorn and then moved to miss the lightship, which is crazy. They would aim for it and then, so obviously things went wrong at least once.
Timing?
Yes, where if it's really thick fog or it's storming or something, can you really trust your ears of where the location of the lightship is based on sound? Like, no.
Probably not.
This difficulty culminated in the sinking of light vessel 117. This was the Nantucket station. With lots of Nantucket
discussion. Yeah, they love that one.
I'm a big fan. I think it's because we're going to go see it that I'm like, whoa. All
right.
I'm all interested. This was the lightship from 1931 until the crash in 1934. So in January, the lightship was glanced by the SS Washington, causing minor damage to the hull, but it really shook up the crew. Like,
yeah.
They realized like they how died. Serious that could have been. And so one of them said, quote, someday we are just going to get it head on, and that will be the finish. One of those big liners will just ride right through us. So 4 months later, the Olympic, sister ship, which is a Titanic,
yeah. Yeah.
was in dense fog and followed Nantucket's radio beacon. The fog warped, obviously, the sound, like...
No way.
It just sounds like they were like, we heard the foghorn, and it sounded like we were missing her by, like, a mile. So we were like, oh, we're all good. And they hit her head on, like, straight down the middle. For reference, the Nantucket lightship was 630 tons. So that's, like, it's a big ship. It's sturdy.
Yeah.
The Olympic was 52,000 tons.
Yeah.
Took millions of pounds.
I think it was the world's largest ship at the time.
I think so too. So she managed to slow down whenever they spotted that they were headed straight towards Nantucket. They slowed down to 3.5 miles per hour, but obviously it doesn't matter.
Like, it's a big ship.
Yeah, the momentum alone, like all this kinetic energy just absolutely decimated. So she destroyed it. The passengers on board the Olympic didn't even notice that they had hit anything. It's really sad because I think it was nighttime. So it's like the Titanic movie, you know, where it's like dark and there's debris and people are screaming and stuff.
Oh, God.
So they're like all looking over the side of the ship because the ship starts to like power backwards to stop.
Mm.
So obviously they feel that more than crushing a tiny ship.
They just ran over it.
Yeah. And so they're all looking out for signs of life. But out of the 11 crew members, only four survived.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And they saw her coming. So they all put on their life preservers and they're like, they have the lifeboat ready, but they just didn't get off. I just wish they would have just, yeah.
I wonder if they didn't get off because they thought maybe it's going to miss them or just... Like what if I'm in a little tiny boat versus this boat?
True. Is this boat better than being in a tiny lifeboat? I don't know.
I don't know.
And also, that's awful. Seeing it from a while out could have been a couple minutes. Like
I didn't know the Olympic ever got in an accident.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called. I mean, what's a ship accident?
No damage.
Yeah. Oops. Fly on the window.
Oh, we hit a speed bump.
That's sad. So they rescued the four at least.
Yeah. So the four that survived, there was three that were severely injured and died later in the hospital.
Three of the four?
Three.
Oh, three additional.
So there were seven that survived the initial crash, but then three died later. It's really awful. Rumors float around that the lightship was cut clean in half by the crash, but you can dive and see the shipwreck on the ocean floor. I think it's outside Nantucket Island, which we're not going to be able to go see. It's right next to Martha's Vineyard. But the dive site is especially dangerous because of the unpredictable currents, which is why the lightship was there in the first place.
Yep.
So I don't know how to pronounce this. The Cunard White Star Line? Cunard, I think. White Star Line is who built the Titanic and the Olympic. But then they merged with this other big... Sure. Shipping line, and that was so they formed a thing. But they paid for the building of Light Vessel 112, which is the ship that we are going to go check out, as a replacement for Light Vessel 117, which is the one that was hit. They built that modeled like a battleship, and it's armored and the largest lightship that was ever built.
So, like, sorry, we killed some people.
Okay, we're going to make this.
Wouldn't it be cool
if
we gave you a battleship?
They're like, your ship was wimpy.
Yeah, we didn't even feel it.
Oh, God. So awful.
So they gave him a pretty sweet ship.
Yeah, really nice. And I'm really excited we get to go check it out. Private tour, baby.
Wait, is that the one? Where is that?
Right outside of Boston Airport.
Oh, that's the one. Okay.
Yeah, the shipyard.
Nice. It's battleship style.
Yes.
Battleship-esque.
I wish I had gone inside Overfall so I could know, I could like spot the differences. But I guess I was going to say I'll have to go back, but I don't know if I ever will.
Never know.
What would bring me back to the coast of Delaware?
Probably lighthouses, honestly. Light vessels.
So this one that was destroyed was the first class of lightships built with diesel engines, kind of interesting, which were added to almost all steam-powered lightships between 1926 and 1938. And 1939 is when the Coast Guard took over everything. And after they did that, after they were taken over, they gradually... This is when they stopped. They started taking light ships out of service. And the Coast Guard only built six vessels after they took over. All welded holes instead of riveting, built with the best technology to date. So they're pretty fancy. I want to say Nantucket 1 and 2 were built around this time. This is a painting of the Nantucket getting hit by the Olympic.
We can't even fit the Olympic in the painting.
I know. They're like, let's just put it all in the background.
Yeah, that explains. Look at the boats going flying.
Yeah, there is no way to make it.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. So anyway, as I was saying, Nantucket 1 and 2, and these were built by the Coast Guard. These are WLV 612 and 613. They were the last boats in service, which were taken out in 1983, like I mentioned earlier. After removal, lightships were replaced with large lightship red, large navigational buoys.
Buoys.
And it's an actual name, LNB, large navigational buoys.
Okay.
And these were developed just for the removal of lightships. And if people that live on coastlines probably recognize it.
Oh, yeah.
It's this big flat circle with a light on top.
I think I've shown that before.
I vaguely feel like when we talked about buoys, maybe you mentioned it.
It might have been that. I mean, maybe that's a standard design, but it might have been that exact buoy.
I remember you pulling this up.
Very cool.
But yeah, so they developed it just for that. And since they're unmanned and they have a beacon that's visible up to 10 miles and a foghorn for 3 miles, obviously it's way more cost effective than manning and upkeeping a lightship.
It would still suck to hit that thing.
Yeah. Well, the point is to not hit it.
It's red. It makes noise.
It's red. It's noisy.
It makes lights. I'm sure it's been done.
We got to wrap it up so we can get to our shipwreck cocktails.
Oh, that's right.
In the end, I read that only 5 lightships in the U.S. were actually lost due to storms, even though I said there was like hundreds of instances where chains broke and they just went flying out into a storm and then ended up surviving. And they would like fix her up and maybe put her in a new station or keep her at the same station, but usually they survived. Only 5 of them. And then 5 more were lost due to crashes. That's where I left off my notes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I was like, wow.
In the end.
I could have put a way different end on there. But anyway, Vince, you and I are going to be seeing Nantucket on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So in only a few days. So maybe we'll have some cool, maybe I'll get enough information to just do an episode on like a specific lightship.
Maybe. I'm sure we'll cover our trip as well.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to see lots of lighthouses. It's finally here. You remember when we talked about this in February?
I know. Yeah, the whole Lighthouse Lowdown crew, not clan, is going to be there with us in spirit.
Yeah, and we'll keep you guys updated with pictures and videos. We're going to be participating in the USLHS dance competition.
Dancing my booty.
I've already started. I've started our little video with the places that I saw in Delaware. So I'm kicking off the video with some GRU elbows from Despicable Me. I got some of that little bit of dancing on East End, Delaware Breakwater.
Our followers are going to really enjoy that.
I don't know if I want to put it out there, but I suppose we're going to have to.
It'll be on the internet. Yeah.
Maybe we'll win, and then everyone will see it at the virtual bonanza that the USLHS is hosting September 7th.
Hey.
Check out their website for the link, because I have registered and I will be there. So,
cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. So that's lightships. I feel like I could have done more, but is a pretty pretty broad coverage of them, and now you know how they work.
There's always more to say.
Right? Always, yeah. And we'll get deeper into it some other time. So everyone, make sure to check out our website, thelighthouselowdown.com, where you can listen to our episodes, find links for other places to listen to our episodes, and you can also check out our YouTube videos on the same website. And check out our Instagram at thelighthouselowdown, where we post pictures from each of our episodes and little brief things, and we love to hear from people, so leave us a review on our website as well. And we love that you're here, and we'll catch you next time on The Lighthouse Lowdown. This is a dance move I'm going to pull out.
The coral reef.
Swing, seaweed.